About a third of the United States is federally owned, which means it belongs to all of us, the public. But that also gives the president a lot of power over these places. President Trump recently signed an executive order to review all of the national monuments over 100,000 acres designated since Bill Clinton was president.
Today I'm signing a new executive order to end another egregious abuse of federal power and to give that power back to the states and to the people where it belongs.
This week on our podcast, Trump on Earth, the Allegheny Friends' Julie Grant takes a closer look at what's at stake for public lands and what we can expect under the new administration. And Julie joins me now. Hey there.
Hi, Kara.
So in response to this executive order, Trump's Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, is in Utah this week visiting national monuments.
Yeah, he's at one called Bear's Ears. It's a 1.35 million acre monument. It's in southeast Utah. It was designated by President Obama just last December. And it includes world-class rock climbing, cliff dwellings, and land that's considered sacred to five Native American tribes.
I've heard a lot about Bear's Ears, and I hear it's beautiful. The Antiquities Act does not give the federal government unlimited power to lock up millions of acres of land and water, and it's time we ended this abusive practice.
President Roosevelt signed the Antiquities Act back in 1906. That's what gave presidents the power to designate federal lands as national monuments, which protects them from commercial development or future mineral exploitation, right?
Right. Even though President Trump is questioning it, the Antiquities Act has been used by many presidents more than 150 times to protect public lands. For our podcast, I spoke with Martin Nye. He's a professor of natural resources policy at the University of Montana. And I asked whether Bear's Ears and another monument Zinke is visiting in Utah, Grand Staircase Escalante, designated by Bill Clinton in 1996, were the reasons for Trump's order to review the national monuments.
Well, I believe so. I mean, Grand Staircase Escalante changed the politics in a big way. You know, these national monument designations have historically been smaller in size, and so that you could protect an archaeological area, an Indian ruin, something of that magnitude. With Grand Staircase Escalante, President Clinton made a landscape-scale proclamation that was larger in size than some national monuments. And the state of Utah was in opposition to it. And so things really became much more politicized after President Clinton's designation. And it, so it has become increasingly controversial. I mean, some Republicans in Congress believe it is gives the president too much authority over these public lands without enough public input and participation in the process. Although that didn't make sense in the case of Bear's Ears, as it included a very participatory process leading up to the proclamation.
And so what do these proclamations mean when an area is designated as a national monument in terms of its resource use? Are we talking about limiting, say, timbering, ranching, oil and gas development?
Well, that's the big one. I mean, all of these proclamations happen on previously existing public lands. So in the case of the Bear's Ears, you have Forest Service and BLM land that is implicated. And with the Antiquities Act, the president will first make clear the purpose of that monument and then provide very site-specific direction on how that place is to be managed in perpetuity. And that can include restrictions on grazing. Often it withdraws energy development and oil and gas development. And it can also have very site-specific provisions like Bear's Ears pertaining to the rights of Native American tribes and co-management and access to cultural resources and reserved rights and so on.
The outdoor industry has also made itself heard out in Utah, withdrawing some major dollars from the state, companies like Patagonia and North Face, because they want the lands protected. Have you ever seen this kind of debate before on the public lands in this kind of way?
I've never seen it at this level in my 20 years of doing this line of work. I mean, there have long been flare-ups and controversies associated to public lands management. I mean, that's the messy part of democracy, but I've never seen it at this level. And professionally, it's hard to keep up. I mean, it's multiple fire hoses, maybe fire hydrants going off at the same time, and I'm pretty stretched right now to keep up with all of it.
Early in the Republican Congress this year, even before the inauguration in January, there was this big legislative push to transfer federal lands to states, you know, say for a dollar or some low amount or something, yeah, and give states control over these lands. That met with large-scale opposition. It sounded like, okay, they're not going to do that, but this fight is still out there. Is that right?
You're absolutely right. And there are a number of bills that seek to transfer federal lands to the states or, in fact, privatize those lands. And although there has been an enormous backlash to those proposals, it is still a very real threat and also shows you just how polarized this issue has become. I mean, we have always argued about the best way to manage public lands. Do we need to provide them more environmental protection? How much resource use? That is built into our public land laws. It's a good debate to have, but it is altogether different to be proposing to privatize this public lands legacy of ours.
And what are the big concerns about that? What's wrong with giving states control over these lands? Don't people in the states have a better sense of how those lands are maybe best managed?
Well, there are all sorts of reasons to oppose the transfer. The economics is one of them. There's no way the Western states are going to be able to afford most of these lands. And that's why there is such a reasonable fear that those lands would eventually be privatized. But I want to get back to the first issue you raised,
yeah,
and ask your Eastern listeners what they think about federal lands and how often they come west to visit some of our parks here in Montana or some of our wilderness areas. These lands are of national significance. Glacier, Yellowstone, some of our crown jewels, our wilderness areas. These are the values that have been recognized by John Muir and Gifford Pinchot, and all of our conservation icons. State and local governments need to have a large role in determining how those lands are managed. And thankfully, our federal land laws already provide a very privileged position for our state and local governments to participate in those processes. But these lands are national lands, and it is a national public lands legacy.
So this land is your land, this land is my land.
Yeah, and that's Martin Nye, professor of natural resources policy at the University of Montana, talking about public lands on our podcast, Trump on Earth.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Kara.
You can hear more of Julie Grant's conversation with Professor Nye at trumponearth.org. That's where we also have past episodes, and you can subscribe there, too. You can also subscribe to Trump on Earth on iTunes.